You're listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ, teaching and worshiping God in the beautiful New York State counties of Orange and Rockland.
So we're going to talk about the resurrection of Christ. When I was growing up, we really didn't celebrate Easter. It was just another Sunday for us. But we did do certain things. We still got into the swing of decorating eggs. We liked that. How many of you have decorated eggs at some point in your life? That's a fun thing to do. We did have Easter egg hunts. You know, this is one of the largest days of attendance at churches, Easter and Christmas. And churches do different things to try to compete for visitors. And I heard one church was having an Easter egg hunt today where they were going to have the Easter eggs dropped from a helicopter. Yes. Dropped from, and that's not fake news. That's for real. You would think that's fake news, right? But that's for real. They had actually rented out a helicopter, and they were having Easter eggs dropped from the helicopter into a big field behind their church building, and were advertising it for everybody to come out. It just seems like there's so many things that can go wrong with having children out in a field and Easter eggs dropped from a helicopter. I don't know who came up with that idea, but that would make me stay away from church if something like that were going on. But we did the Easter egg things. My grandma always gave us a chocolate bunny, which was great. Solid chocolate bunny, even better than the hollow one. Some people like these. I never really got into these. I do like jelly beans, though, and so that was... We got some of that. But Easter is mainly because of the resurrection. We think of the resurrection, and it's the resurrection Sunday. And Lee and I had an opportunity to live in Israel for a year. And you can just be driving down the streets in some parts of Galilee, and you'll look over, and you can see a stone in front of a tomb much like this one. This is how they buried people in the first century. And there was a tomb that was not used very long. For three short days, Jesus was there, and then he rose from the dead. That's one of the unique and distinctive properties of Jesus. There are quite a few of them, actually. When you think of the distinctive qualities of Jesus, you think about his virgin birth. Or you might think about his perfect, sinless life. Or you might think about his compassion and love. He loved like no other. Or you might think about his death on the cross. The death of Jesus makes him distinctive. Because there are a number of people that said, I'm willing to die for my cause, but none of them said, I am going to die for the sins of humanity. It's that purpose behind his death that really marks the cross as something that is distinctive. And also, what's very distinctive about Jesus is his resurrection. Because then, again, some people said, well, I will die for my cause, but nobody in the history of humanity, except for Jesus, has said, I will die and wait 3 days. In 3 days, I will come back from the dead. And that will verify everything that I have taught you. And it will show you that I've been speaking the truth. Because in 3 days, if I'm not back from the dead, produce my body. And everything I've said is false. And that's exactly what the Romans and the Jews had in mind. That's why they put guards on the grave. Because they didn't want his body stolen, because in 3 days they would produce the dead body and say he is no Messiah. But in 3 days they couldn't find his body, because he broke the bonds of death just like he prophesied and just like he said that he would do. And you can read this in Matthew chapter 28. So if you get over to Matthew chapter 28 right now. Yep. That's going to keep happening too. But we'll... come back next Sunday. We're going to be so much better, you know. I mean, so much better. It's going to be amazing to you. Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. In fact, when you read the other Gospels, there are other women there. But the women were the first to go, the first to have faith, the first on Sunday to rise and to go to the tomb. This is Mary Magdalene and probably Mary, the mother of Jesus, right here, that are the first to go there. It says, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." I want to talk about three responses to the cross this morning. And you see the responses to the cross right here in this text. And so we're going to study this text for the next few minutes and just see what lessons that we can learn here from Matthew chapter 28 and the first 10 verses. The first thing that we see as we look in Matthew chapter 28 and we see the tomb being opened is we see the response of the Roman guards. And you see this here in a couple of the verses here. How did the guards respond to the resurrection of Jesus? These were Roman guards. They were trained soldiers. They were people who were there at the tomb for really one purpose, and that is to make sure no one steals the body. And when the angel appears, it says in verse 2, "There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it." You can see the size of the stone there in the picture. And it really is, it was that big. When you see these stones now from the first century time that archaeologists have discovered, they are that big. It's no way that even those two soldiers together could not have rolled back that stone. They would have needed quite a number of people. When the women were going there, they were thinking, who is going to roll the stone away for us? Because it would be too heavy for them to do. But this one angel rolls the stone back. And it says his appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And that's one possible response to the resurrection of Jesus. Is you just get scared. You get scared, you shake a bit, and you become like a dead person. No change. No change in your life at all. These are people that were right there. They saw the angel. The angel looked like lightning. They saw what was happening. And yet, they had no faith response. And it's possible to do that. It's possible to actually read the text, even understand the text, even understand that the witnesses to the resurrection, that it's true, and yet have no faith response. To just be frozen. They were frozen. They were paralyzed. There was no response of, "I'm going to change because of this." Now, the centurion who was at the foot of the cross when Jesus died, this centurion who oversaw that event at the cross, at the end of Luke, he looks up and he says, "Surely this was the Son of God." He saw the way that Jesus died, and that soldier said, "This is God's Son." These soldiers that are standing here witnessing the resurrection, they're just paralyzed. They're just frozen. And it's possible that when we read about the resurrection of Jesus that we don't make a change. We're just like dead people. Have you ever heard the expression, "It looks like you've seen a ghost," or "You look like you've seen a ghost"? That's how these guys were. They were just afraid, but no real faith response. They saw the angel of the Lord, but they didn't change. Instead of bowing in reverent fear, they froze in fear. They were paralyzed by fear. They failed to allow the resurrection to help them change their lives. And that's such a shame, because the whole point of the resurrection is that it changes us. And the same power that's there, that was there with the resurrection, can be there for all of us in our lives if we will decide to follow Jesus. But this happens sometimes, and that we just get afraid. We might think things like, "Well, I don't know if I can do this," or "I don't know if I can give these things up that I'm clinging to right now." Or we might think, "Well, this is just too difficult for me right now." Or maybe you start to change, and you're all excited about change, and then you stumble, and you fall back into your old habits. And because of that, you say, oh, it's not going to happen. This is not going to happen for me. And so you go back, or you just get paralyzed, and you stop trying. Maybe you see the commitment of true disciples, and that scares you. Because you see the standard that people are living out in their lives, and you think, there's no way I can live like that. See, that's denying the resurrection. It's denying the power of Jesus. Because Jesus rose so that we can change our lives. Jesus rose to give us the power to change our lives. Maybe we think, oh, I see these disciples, and I read the disciples about the disciples in the Gospels, and I see the lives of people, and I think, wow, they're so serious. They're serious about sin. They're serious about unity. They're serious about following the Bible and really following the Scriptures. They're serious about being non-denominational Christians. They don't want to be like every other church. They want to be like the church of the Bible. They want to be like the church in the book of Acts. They're serious about the lordship of Christ, about really surrendering their hearts and their lives to Christ. They're serious about being in each other's lives and helping each other and living out the one another scriptures. And I think, when you look around and you see true disciples, you do see that. You see that seriousness. But instead of being afraid, be inspired. Be inspired to be like that yourself. They're serious about winning the world for Christ. And we are serious about reaching the lost and winning the world for Christ. But instead of being afraid and backing up, instead, be inspired and decide, I'm going to believe in the resurrection. I'm going to embrace the resurrection. And I'm going to put the resurrection in my life. And, over my years of being in the ministry, I've seen people respond to the gospel in different ways. And usually people, they get inspired and they start changing, and then they just keep changing, or they get a little bit inspired and then a little bit fearful, and then they back up, and then they get a little bit more inspired and then they back up. But if you focus in on the resurrection, and this is why it's so important that Easter isn't just one day out of the year, but that Easter for true disciples is every day of the year, because it's our motivation. Jesus died on the cross, and he rose from the dead, and he rose for us. And we can have his power in our lives. But we need to break through our fears. Break through our fears, whatever they might be. For you, it might be a sin that you're dealing with. For you, it might be understanding the commitment, and you're a bit afraid about that. Or for you, it might be that your family comes from a certain tradition, and you're afraid of upsetting your family. Well, whatever your fear is, understand that with Christ, you can overcome those fears. And that's what we need to do. We need to overcome whatever fears are in our way. I love this story, and I've told it, some of you have heard it before. Story of a man who was walking through a cemetery at night. He's walking through the cemetery because it was a shortcut to get home. And unfortunately, this night, as he was walking through, there was no moon out, it was very dark, and he stumbled into an open grave. A grave that they were going to use for a funeral the very next day. So he stumbles into this open grave, and as he stumbles, he hurts his ankle a bit, and so he's trying to jump up and grab the top of the grave, but every time he jumps, he gets about this short, just about a foot short, and he just can't reach it. But he keeps trying, you know, because he doesn't want to be in that grave all night. So he keeps trying, and he keeps trying, but the more he tries, he gets farther and farther away from the top of the grave, and he starts getting really tired, and so he finally just settles down at the bottom of the grave, and he says, I'm going to be here all night. And then he hears a voice saying, you need a boost? And at that point, he jumps up right out of the grave, you know, doesn't need a boost, doesn't need any help, he just jumps right out of the grave and runs all the way home, because fear motivated him, and he pushed past whatever was hurting him to make it out of that grave. You know, fear can either cripple us or it can help us and motivate us to go on and to make the changes that we need to make. And that's what happens with the women. I appreciate these women so much. They were the first ones to the tomb. They were there to see that Jesus, his body was taken care of. But they also understood that this was the day that Jesus was to rise. And so they make it to the tomb. They come out to the tomb. Whenever I read this story, I always have to ask myself, where are the brothers? Where are the men? If you keep reading and read other accounts in the other Gospels, they're in an upper room somewhere, just really afraid, frozen in fear. And it's the women that motivate them. And I'm so grateful for the sisters that we have in the church here. I'm thankful for the ways that you inspire us and you motivate us. And sisters, keep on running to Jesus and showing us how to do that. And you see the women here, their response was different than the guards. The guards, they were paralyzed, they were frozen, they were like dead people. The women, they're courageous, they're full of conviction, they're full of faith, they obey. There is some fear involved, but you'll see that their fear was also filled with joy. And I love that phrase, filled with joy. Because they didn't know exactly what was going to happen next, but they were excited about the possibilities. You ever been that way? You know, something's going on, you're not sure exactly how it's going to turn out, but you're excited about what could happen. And that's what these women were like here. It says in verse 5, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Let's look here for a moment at the response of the women. And you see that as they come up to the tomb, they too see the angel. But instead of just being afraid and being like dead people, they have a conversation. The angel says, "Don't be afraid." And the fact is that that's who God is. God doesn't want us to be afraid, but he will use fear as a motivator if he needs to. And even in this case, a little bit later, it says, afraid yet filled with joy. They used fear to motivate them to do what was right. The angel told them, "Go quickly and tell my disciples, he has risen." They obeyed immediately. They hurried from the tomb. They ran, being filled with joy. And so you see here that the fear that they have, they use it as a motivation to get going. And also, they follow the directive of the angel. And you know, ultimately what that does is it leads them to Jesus. And they meet Jesus on the way. But they were already obeying. They were already being faithful. They were already not frozen by fear, but having fear with joy as they ran along the way, all of this before they met Jesus. Because that's what takes us to Jesus. A faithful response to the word. And a faithful response to the testimony. But what about you? How do you use fear in your life? Do you allow it to paralyze you? Or do you allow it to motivate you? How do you respond to fear in your life? And we all have fear in our life. I appreciate Roland in the communion, sharing about some of the things that he's facing in life. And those are very real things that he's facing. And you know, he could decide, oh, there's just too much there right now, so let me fudge a little bit, let me cheat a little bit, let me not be as sacrificial or not as committed. But he doesn't do that because he's a disciple. And he's allowing the fear to motivate him to follow God. How do you use the fear in your life? Is it a motivation to do what's right? Can you have fear and yet be filled with joy? Allow it to create an extra excitement in your life. You know, on Thursday, Lee and I went to the baseball game. We saw the Nyack Warriors play baseball against Dominican College, right? That was Thursday, right? Yeah, and Alyssa went with us. We were there in the stands together. We were just sitting there, minding our own business, watching a fun baseball game. And the Warriors won that game, which was exciting to see. I forget which inning was, maybe the sixth inning, seventh inning. One of the Warriors hit a foul ball. And I saw the ball coming, you know, and it went way up in the sky. I'm surprised it didn't start raining. This ball went so far up in the sky. But it was up there. And you know, I played outfield a little bit, and as soon as that ball started coming back my way, I thought, that's going to hit us. That thing is way up in the sky, and it's coming this way. And so I sort of look out of the side of my eye, and I see Lee there, and she's on her phone texting, you know. She's just totally oblivious. She's on her phone texting. Good stuff, you know, to good people, but she's there. And I'm like, oh, no. That ball could hit her right in the head. She has no clue. Now, Alyssa's a catcher. She's a catcher for St. Thomas Aquinas women's softball team. And so she stood up. She stood up and she was ready to go, you know. And I appreciated that she was up, ready to go. If it gets too close, I am all over this thing. But for me, what I thought was, I got to protect my wife here. Because there was a tree right there. And I thought, if it hits a branch of that tree, that ball could go anywhere. And then there's gravel all around us. I thought if it hits right in front of us, it could come up and just hit her right, you know, take that cell phone and just plant it in her face, you know. And I was like, oh, that's not going to be a good thing. And so I was like, okay, Alyssa's tracking the ball. I'll just cover up Lee right now. And that's what I did. I reached over, and she was like, what are you doing? She just saw this giant shadow come over her, you know. And she was like, what? And I said, watch out. And then a few seconds later, I heard this thunk. And I looked up, and it was really about 3 feet, right? About 3-5 feet in front of us. It was right there. But I appreciated the different responses. There was one who was oblivious, okay? Had no idea what was happening, okay? And there was me. I was definitely fearful. But I thought, okay, if it hits me, better than hitting my wife. And Alyssa was like up on her feet, ready to go, you know? She was probably a little afraid for us, not for herself. But she was also filled with joy, like, let me make this catch, you know? And I appreciated that response. And that is, what I'm saying is that all of us have an opportunity to respond to the resurrection of Jesus. What are you going to do? What's your response going to be? So we talked about two responses. We talked about the response of the guards, the response of the women, but there's a third. And you look in the text, you're like, well, where is the third? Well, it said Matthew is writing to readers, and the third response is you. How are you going to respond? And all of us today, we have an opportunity to respond to the resurrection of Jesus. We can either get paralyzed and frozen and be like dead men, or we can be full of conviction and faith and be motivated and be filled with joy and respond like the women. What's your response going to be? I realize that for some of us, we might not have been to church in a while. And so I would encourage you to respond by just getting with someone and talking to someone about the Bible, talking to someone about the Word of God and sharing your life and letting them share their life with people. We love to study the Bible with people. And when we study it, we break it open and we actually read, we read it together because we want people to be in the Word. We are a people of the book. And we believe in the Word of God. And we want to be a church that follows the Bible. And so if you're here today and you haven't yet studied the Bible, I encourage you, just ask someone that you came with and say, can we study the Bible together? And they will be excited. They'll be filled with joy to be able to do that with you. Maybe you have been coming for a while, but there's that thing in your life, and you know it's there, and you know you got to deal with it, and you know it's not pleasing God, and you're just like, I know it's there. And you know, when you have something like that, it just keeps eating at you. And it's going to keep eating at you until you do something about it. That's just the way it works. And so I encourage you today to be motivated by the resurrection to deal with that, whatever it is. If it's a sin, if it's something you need to get out in the open, if it's something that you need to talk to someone about, get it out. Get it out and deal with it. Because as long as you leave it inside, you're paralyzed. You're frozen by fear. But if you get it out, you can be filled with joy. And so whatever your response is we're all going to respond in some way. I pray that you will be respond with faith, with conviction, and with courage. You might think, well, you know what? I just don't know if I can do that. Well, God says you can. God says that you can do it. In fact, he says through him you can do all things. And I'm going to close out with just some things that you might think, but then some things God says about how you're thinking. Because we got to put away our stinking thinking. And we have some stinking thinking in our lives. Right now, I got a stinking computer going on, but that's okay. By next week, I'm going to have this all fixed. What about you? Are you going to have your stinking thinking fixed? That was a nice tie-in, right? Yeah, I just pulled that all together right there. But we got to watch the way that we think. Because here's the thing. The way you think is ultimately going to be the way you live. And it's your thoughts that are going to guide you through life. And so if you've got some stinking thinking going on in your mind right now, you got to get rid of it. You got to deal with it. And God can replace that thinking with positive, faithful, encouraging, motivating thoughts. And that's how I want to close out the lesson right now. Just think about some of these things. This was written by a guy named Michael McCartney. And he just goes through a list with scriptures of some of the things that we might think and now what God says to those. We think it's impossible. God says all things are possible. We think I'm too tired. God says I will give you rest. We think nobody really loves me. God says I love you. We think I cannot go on. God says, and I love this verse, my grace is sufficient for you. Trust in God. You can go on. We think, I can't figure things out. God says, I will direct your steps. We think, I can't do it. And I love this verse. God says, you can do all things through me. Philippians 4:13. We think, I'm not able. God says, I am able. We think, I'm not worth it. God says, it will be worth it. We think, I can't forgive myself. God says, I forgive you. We think, I can't manage. God says, I will supply all your needs. We think, I'm afraid. God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. We think, I'm always worried and frustrated. God says, cast all your cares on me. We think, I don't have enough faith. God says, I've given everyone a measure of faith. We think, I'm not smart enough. God says, I give you wisdom. We think, I feel alone. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Three responses to the resurrection. The guards who cowered in fear were paralyzed by fear and looked like dead men. The women who were convicted, courageous, faithful. Yes, there was fear, but it motivated them to be filled with joy. Now, you. How you respond to the resurrection of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast. For more information about our ministry or to attend a church service, please visit our website at hvregion.com.